Soda Nandana, Rana Ranjana, Soda Nandana, Rana Ranjana, Jamuna Tira, Vana Chadi, Jamuna Tira, Jaya Radha Madhava, Kundali Hari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnabhava, Bhagavad Raja, Gacharya, Sada, Sisi, Desi, Bhaktivedanta, Samchita, Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Amacharya, Starkur, Ki Jai, Premsaka. Gaur Bhakta Vrindagi Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopada Shama Kundo Radha Kadigiri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadup Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Jumuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindagi Jai, Sambha Vetta Bhakta Vrindagi Jai, Gopremanandi, all glories to the Sam of devotees, all glories to the Sam of devotees, all glories to the Sam of devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru, all glories to the Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vishnu Vinayaka Krishna Vrindavana Swami Niti Namine. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashachare Shatarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadada, Shivasri Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse 16. Atraiva maya dhamanavatare Hyasya prapanchasya bahisputasya Kritsnasya chanta jatare jananya Mayatvam eva prakati kritam te Atra, in this way, Eva, indeed, Maya Dumana, O subduer of Maya, Avatare, in the incarnation, he, certainly, Asya, of this, Prapanchasya, created material manifestation, Bahi, externally, Sputasya, which is visible, Krishnasya, entire, Cha, and Anta, within, Jatare, your abdomen, and Jananya, unto your mother, Mayatvam, your bewildering potency, Eva, indeed, Prakatikrtam, has been demonstrated. Te, by you. Translation, my dear Lord, in this incarnation you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya. Although you are now within this universe, the whole universal creation is within your transcendental body, a fact you demonstrated by exhibiting the universe within your abdomen before your mother, Yasoda. Purport, Lord Brahma here describes the inconceivable spiritual potency of the Lord. We may find a pot within a house, but we can hardly expect to find the house within the same pot. By the Lord's spiritual potency, however, he can appear within this universe and simultaneously exhibit all the universes within his body. One may argue that since the universe is seen by Mother Yasoda within Lord Krishna's abdomen, but within the Lord's body, they are different from the illusory material universes manifest externally. Here, Lord Brahma refutes that argument, however. Lord Krishna is Maya Dhamana, the supreme controller of illusion. By the Lord's own supreme mystic potency, he can bewilder even illusion herself. And thus the Lord actually exhibited all the material universes within his body. This is Maya Tvam, the supreme bewildering potency of the personality of Godhead. So, here the Lord Brahma explains the inconceivable nature of that form of Krishna by explaining how the universe appeared within him, and simultaneously it is outside. And obviously there is a reference here to Mother Yasoda seeing the universe within Krishna's belly. Of course, we can also understand that we can take it in a general way that the Mahavishnu has all the universes within himself at the time of annihilation as well. But particularly mentions Krishna here. Within Krishna, his mother saw the universes. So this is an illustration of the fact that everything is in the Lord, though simultaneously everything is not in the Lord. So we have many such statements that we see in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 9. The same thing is said. The Lord is in everything, but not in everything. He's outside everything, but he's not outside everything. So we have contradiction when we make such statements. That is a contradiction from our normal material experience. An object is located in a particular place at a particular time, and it cannot be in two places at once. So if the flower is here, it's only here. It cannot simultaneously be here. And if it is here, it cannot be here. It can't be in both places. It's one or the other. It can change places, definitely, but it's only located in one particular place at one particular time. That's our experience of material objects or material things or material bodies. So similarly, we have inside and outside. An object is inside the jar or outside the jar. It cannot be both. It's either one or the other. And then we have big objects, a universe.
the universe is inside the Lord or outside the Lord. It could be either, but it shouldn't be both. That would be a contradiction to material experience. But, and of course, normally we wouldn't see such a thing. But Krishna exhibited this to Mother Yasoda. So simultaneously she saw everything in Krishna and simultaneously everything outside Krishna. And well, we can say, well, it's illusory. One is illusory. The outside one's illusory, or the one inside Krishna is illusory. So that's one way of getting around it. Of course, we can say they're both illusory also. The Mayavadis will say that it's all illusory. It just doesn't really matter. In any case, for the Supreme Lord, it doesn't have to be illusory, because he has his Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potency by which things can exist simultaneously in different places. And this is not the only instance. So we have the Supreme Lord as one person, but he has many forms simultaneously. How can one person be in many places simultaneously with many different forms, doing many different things? Narada Muni saw in Dwarka, one Krishna was simultaneously in many places doing many different things. How is it possible? So one object in many places simultaneously doing different things. So Krishna was somehow everywhere doing different things in 16,108 palaces. So beyond our normal experience. So this surprised even Narada Muni. Yeah. So the Lord can do extraordinary things, and thus it is not amazing for him if he can appear inside and outside the universe. The universe he showed inside himself when Mother Yasoda looked inside. And what was that universe? Was it a different universe or not? Exactly the same universe, because Mother Yasoda saw Krishna and Yasoda there also. So it must be the same one. So she saw herself and Krishna inside Krishna, which is even more peculiar. But then she looked outside and she saw universe outside. Vrindavan was outside. So Vrindavan was outside, sun and moon were outside, and simultaneously everything was inside. This simultaneous, not one after the other, but simultaneously this happened. And for this reason, Narada Muni also thought, well, maybe Krishna is going from one place to the other. So very quickly, at the speed of mind, he went from one place to another place. And Krishna was in all those places. It wasn't he was suddenly appearing from one place and going to another place. He was in all the places simultaneously. So here also, with Mother Yasoda, simultaneously the universe was outside, the universe was inside. So how is this possible? This is the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. Of course, from the philosophical point of view, this is not astonishing, because we see that Brahman is spread everywhere. It spreads everywhere, pervades everywhere. So inside or outside doesn't really matter. However, when that Brahman has form, then the form seems to be in a certain place at a certain time, from our point of view, but actually it isn't. We have Krishna and he's in Vrindavan, but simultaneously he's in the spiritual world, simultaneously he's in another universe, simultaneously he's pervading everything in the material creation. So it's an appearance for us that he may be limited, but actually he's unlimited in size and in all aspects. If he shows the universe inside him, it is not amazing. And if he appears inside the universe, also not amazing. So, of course, we know that Mahavishnu has all of the universes within him at one particular time. But, of course, at that time, we don't have a manifestation of the avatars. It's only when the universes come out of the body of Mahavishnu that avatars appear within the material world. So that's not a simultaneous inside-outside there. in terms of the avatars appearing in the material world. However, though Krishna appears within the material world, within the a particular universe, or in many universes simultaneously, and simultaneously he's in the spiritual world, we should not think that therefore Krishna is limited in terms of space. He's here and he's here simultaneously, because actually he's everywhere simultaneously. And his whole form is bigger than the whole universe and bigger than all the universes. What is the size of Krishna? It's unlimited. So it's bigger than all the forms in all the universes, etc. So then automatically must contain all the universes within him. Simply by his nature. And he's all-pervading. And well, of course, we'll say, well, how can a form be all-pervading? Because it has limits. That's our conception of form. Doesn't have to apply to the Supreme Lord. So he's all-pervading and all-powerful, and therefore he can manifest himself outside, inside, or whatever, whenever, however he chooses. So, of course, for the other forms of the Lord, this power is also there. And therefore we see Mahavishnu is there. He has the universes within him. Then he has the universes outside him. Then he enters inside the universes, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Then he enters within all of the jivas as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. He illustrates how he is everywhere with a particular form. So he penetrates everything. But still, he has a form, even though he's pervading everywhere. So we should not underestimate the nature or the power of the Supreme Lord. Though he looks like he has a limited form, even if it's a big form, it will have, you know, height and whatever like that from our point of view. We should not think that this is in any way a limitation on the Supreme Lord. It does not prevent him from being all-pervading, or the biggest of the big, or the smallest of the small, etc. So in the case of Krishna, of course, it's even more extraordinary, because he doesn't appear like the Supreme Lord. He doesn't appear to have power. He's just a small cowherd boy. And yet, he has extraordinary power within him by which he can do this. So when he was a baby, a very small child, he manifested the universe within him. And simultaneously, the universe was outside him. So without effort, even though he looks like a small child, he can cause this to happen. So this is a particular case of illustrating the impossible, more or less, in an example from Krishna's pastimes, which shows his greatness and his achintya shakti. So he showed this achintya shakti to Mother Yasoda, who thought of Krishna as her son. So this is a contradiction. She cannot think like that at all. That Krishna says, oh, he's God, he has a chintya shakti. So the remarkable thing is that he showed this, he gave this illustration of his power in a very graphic way so that everybody can understand. And Mother Yasoda also saw it, and we can also appreciate it, but Mother Yasoda forgot it completely because of her prema. So she thought of Krishna as her son, and then she didn't think anything of this particular incident at all. She forgot it completely because of her prema. So within Vrindavan, Krishna was able to manifest this great power and illustrate his nature as the Supreme Lord, but it did not affect the love of Mother Yasoda for him. So another example of greatness is, of course, is this incident here where Krishna shows himself as all the Vishnu forms in charge of all the universes, and simultaneously he is cowherd boy Krishna in Vrindavan. Another extraordinary show of power. This was limited to Brahma, who was not a member of Vrindavan at all, and his conception of the Lord was a little different. Therefore, this was a very great experience for Brahma. It wasn't a great experience for Mother Yasoda. She didn't even tell anybody about it. But Brahma here is praising the Lord after having that vision of Krishna, because he appreciated the Achintya Shakti of Krishna. He is Krishna. At the same time, he's got Achintya Shakti by which he can do so many extraordinary things. So this incident left a big impression upon Brahma, and he understood how Krishna is full of extraordinary powers. So in both cases, these incidents were manifested within Vrindavan, but the response was completely different. Mother Yasoda forgot about it completely, and Brahma didn't forget about it. He was very impressed by this, and this is why he is praising Krishna here in this incident, because he understands the extraordinary power of Krishna. So this Achintya Shakti belongs to the Lord. It's his very nature, whether it is Vishnu or Krishna. It can apply to any of them. But it takes an extraordinary form in Krishna. And therefore we have these extraordinary incidents with Mother Yasoda and with Brahma. These incidents we don't see with other forms of the Lord, but they're there with Krishna, particularly because he's actually a cowherd boy form, and he does these remarkable things to illustrate his nature. So, for Brahma, of course, it was an education. For Yasoda, it was not an education because she forgot about it completely. So instead of being an education, it was an illustration of her greatness as a devotee. So great was her love that she forgot about the incident. So in other words, a show of power by Krishna could not interfere with her love for Krishna. Her love was so great. And this, of course, applies to all the people of Vrindavan. If they see something great, they do not consider it as some remarkable feature of the Supreme Lord, because it contradicts the nature of Krishna as their son or their friend, etc. So the realization may be quite different from what Krishna displays. Nevertheless, Krishna does display remarkable things within Vrindavan, and this is one of the incidents here. Manifestation of the universes within his body is another one, and the lifting Govardhan Hill is another one where everybody saw his powers, etc. So remarkable shows of power, yet the people of Vrindavan don't see it as power at all of Krishna, and they don't think of him as Supreme Lord. So that's also another remarkable thing, that simultaneously, though Krishna shows remarkable things, different devotees respond in different ways to that. So Brahma here responds by respecting the Lord and understanding his greatness. And the people of Vrindavan, on the other hand, do not consider the greatness of the Lord at all. And rather, they simply think of Krishna, continue to think of Krishna as their child. So that illustrates the superior nature of the prema of the people of Vrindavan as compared to people like Brahma, etc. In any case, the Lord does have this extraordinary Achintya Shakti by his very nature. And what we think is impossible or surprising is not difficult for the Supreme Lord at all. He can do it simply by his will. And it does not contradict anything, because he is ultimately the maker of all the laws. So we have an orderly system in the material world, and we think of everything in terms of logic and laws and what is possible, etc. But ultimately, these are only relative things relative to our experience. If we were to be a yogi or someone else, the same logic would not apply, because they see things differently. Their eyes are slightly different, and they have a different vision. It's still material, but it is different. So they can do things which are surprising to us. But again, it's not the Achintya Shakti of the Lord. It is simply another aspect of material nature that we haven't seen yet. Huh? So some surprising things in the world are like that. Simply we haven't seen them, and therefore we're surprised by them. But when Krishna has a display like this, it is much more astonishing. It's completely contradictory. And it's not a show of magic at all. It is actually real. He can be inside and outside simultaneously. No trick involved at all. He can completely contradict the laws of material nature, whereas a yogi is not really contradicting the laws. He's just using more subtle laws than we have, that's all. So these incidents are quite extraordinary. They show what would normally be impossible in the material world, even for a yogi. It's very easy for the Supreme Lord. So he has extraordinary powers, which are not material, but actually spiritual. But if he wants, he can arrange material world in any way he wants at the same time.
Sometimes if you perceive in the mind, suppose somebody is going to Vrindavan last month in the tour, he comes back to Chennai and just keeps thinking the entire Vrindavan Yatra. So he's able to put all that stuff in his mind. Sometimes he, in the dream state, he sees himself. Can we say that we have the minute propensity what Krishna has? In the mind, we think of so many things bigger than us. Mind.
That is simply an impression in the mind, or we can just use a photograph, take a photograph of something. There's nothing extraordinary about that. But Krishna, it's not a thought. It's not a thing. It's a real thing. It's not just a thought that he has. It's a real manifestation. Krishna is inside. Krishna is outside. The universe is inside. The universe is outside. So Mother Yasoda thought, maybe I'm having an illusion or hallucination or I had a dream. And then she said, no, I'm not sleepy. I didn't go to sleep. I'm not hallucinating. I'm in my normal state. It's none of that. It's actually real. So when Krishna manifests, it is not an illusory state. It is actually a real state.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We read the two analogies. That is, one is we are part and parcel. Another place we read that we are a fire spark from a whole fire. It seemed to be two different metaphor, where one is part and parcel, another one is separated from the whole fire. So how do we understand these two metaphor? Are we part and parcel, or are we separated?
Jivas? Talking about jivas.
Jivas.
Oh, well, we say part. The real word is in Sanskrit is amsa, which means a part, obviously. And we're called vibhinamsa, separated parts or different parts. And then we have the other part, which is called svaamsa, own part, so to speak. So we cannot think of them in terms of chopping. We have a whole and we chop it up into parts. It cannot be taken in that way, because we know Supreme Lord cannot be cut up. And secondly, jivas are eternal. So they know time got cut off from the Supreme Lord as a part. So part or amsa cannot be taken in that way at all, as a physical part. It can only be taken as a metaphorical thing. So why amsa? Because there's dependence. As the limb is dependent on the whole body, so everything is dependent on the Supreme Lord. So the jivas are dependent on the Lord, and they're also quite different. They are conscious, but they have very little power, and they can fall in illusion, maya, ignorance, etc. Lord, completely different from that. He is all powerful, no loss of knowledge at all. So quite different. Nevertheless, the jivas are like the Lord in being conscious and also having their own identity, individual. So the jivas have a little bit of free will, like the Lord. So they're called vibhinamsa, separated or different parts. And then we have svaamsa. This means that the Lord has many forms. But they're all one. Part of himself. So they're not different like the jivas, which individual consciousnesses that actually one Lord with many forms. So that's what swamsa means. They are, which Prabhupada calls what, plenary portions of the Lord. They're non-different from the Supreme Lord because they are the Supreme Lord. They're all Bhagavan. So those are called the swamsa. And the amsas are in comparison to the amsi. The amsi is the original, we can say the original source of all of the amsas, even though there's no time when they were, there was no amsas. They're all eternal. But the amsi is the most important of those persons. So we call the amsi Krishna. And he is Swayam Bhagavan, and the others are swamsa. They are, we can say, expansions or whatever.
That's an avatar of somebody.
Oh, well, avatar, of course, this is Brahma speaking, but avatara means descent into the material world. So Krishna descends in the material world, we call avatar, but a more correct term would be avatari. He is the source of all the avatars. Oh, well, avatari is not feminine, avatarin. We say avatarane.
So it looks like as if Brahma is singing that Krishna is coming from somebody, from some other source.
Well, he descends into the material world, we say, as a form which is visible to us. Of course, he's eternal, but he manifests his form in the material world. So that we call avatar, descent into the material world from the spiritual realm, so to speak.
In the previous question, you say the spark, as long as it's attached to the fire, Prabhupada says, the spark has value. If it comes out of the fire, goes far away, it extinguishes. So as long as we are in touch with the Lord, we have an effect.
Well, we have the Bahirmukha Jiva and the Antarmukha Jiva. The Jiva who's turned away from the Lord is like the spark away from the fire. It becomes dull. It doesn't lose its quality completely, but it is not very bright. But when it comes near the fire, it gets bright. So it is full of knowledge at that point because of accepting the Lord.
Well, today is the beginning of the book distribution marathon. And just a few words to encourage the devotees. December marathon.
Well, of course, the December marathon is a tradition mostly attached to the Western world because they have Christmas at this time and everybody has money, so they like to give. But that's the origin of it. It doesn't make so much sense in India, actually, because it's not a time when you get your bonus or whatever. Maybe Diwali is a better time or something. But traditionally, it's at this time because of the. It's easier to distribute because people have more money at this time and they like to give at Christmas time anyway. So, therefore, the effort is put upon distribution within this particular month. Prabhupada often was emphasizing distribution of books to people. Of course, we should not think only of numbers because you can distribute millions of books and have no effect at all. They often did that in the West. They distributed a lot of books, but they turned a lot of people off because the people became very negative because of the way they distributed them. We have to be careful also in how we distribute the books, that we leave a good impression and we make sure the people read the books or whatever. So book distribution is important, but also in terms of numbers, but also in terms of actually getting people to appreciate Krishna consciousness. So the two things should be there, not just the numbers and the books, but also people should appreciate and read the books, and ultimately they should become devotees. So we should distribute the books. We should also have a method of following that up so that we can cultivate these people and make sure that they understand the books, so they read the books, understand the books, and that they can develop further in their Krishna consciousness. In any case, scripture is a method of developing our bhakti. So if we develop faith, then we can understand the scripture, and then we can begin to practice bhakti. So the modern world has got some conveniences for us in terms of books, etc., which weren't there 500 years ago, all they had was palm leaf manuscripts. You can't distribute those. nothing was available. So now we have these conveniences of books which we can distribute with the hope that the people will contemplate and read and study and hear, etc., and ultimately begin to follow the instructions of those books and practice Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, called the printing press the big mridanga because it can carry the message of Sankirtan to many more people than just doing kirtan on the street or whatever. So this is a way in which we can enlarge the preaching movement by distribution of books effectively so that people get some understanding of this movement and begin to practice.
Yeah. They keep in the shelf between dusting and lying there.
Oh. But they're actually supposed to distribute it to their workers. That's an idea, isn't it?
But did Prabhupada said that it's better that we distribute one-to-one, like go straight and many techniques are made.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they distribute to the people in the factories and then they pay for it out of their salaries, installments or whatever like that also. That's another method. At least they're paying for it.
When people get free something, they don't take value. They just keep it up. When they pay for it... Mm.
Well, as I said, people can do something extraordinary like yogis, but that's just something which is material and not impossible. It's just beyond our normal expectations, that's all. So the Supreme Lord can actually do something which is impossible from normal point of view. So that's the Lord's power, not anyone else. Well, so relatively speaking, we can say it's astonishing to us, therefore it's achintya in that sense. But it is not like the Lord's power, definitely simply aspect of material nature that he's using, which we don't understand, but it's still something within the material laws. That's his swarup, that's his nature, his very form, that's all. Yeah, it's a form which is not imbued with power.